Hi, everybody. Carter here. I just wanted to give a little preface to this episode. Caitlin got a new mic, and so we're still in the process of figuring out how to best utilize that during this episode. So it was pretty rough. She kind of sounds like she's recording from within a glass bottle, but I promise this is the only episode that's like that. We've got the next one already down pat, ready to go. So just suffer through this one with us. We still have a lot of really good content. So yeah, I hope you enjoy it. Thanks. Hi, and welcome to Brought to the Table. Normally, we would have Diana Schulberg, Ian Walker, Carter Van Huss, myself, Caitlin Phillips, and Scott Pruitt. Most of those people are here, but Diana's out because school sucks.
Finals. Schools,
yeah, finals. You know, they put you into a pit, and you have to fight
with shovels.
with the cuffs of your fist. And are hard to find.
You can't use the front of your fist.
No, it has to be the cuffs.
I don't even know what the cuffs of fists are.
I think that's what wrists are called.
That
anyways,
sounds fake.
Yeah, it is. That's the whole joke. We're done with it now. We're moving on.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. This is a show where today the four of us are going to bring some topics to each other and just kind of, I don't know, just talk about them, screw around, make some bad jokes. And
edit them out.
Make some worse jokes. Make some worse jokes. Yep, that's it. And then, that's it. Today we have no freeloader. Everybody has to do something. It might be barely anything.
Is that a fucking joke?
Scott, are you ready for this?
I'll see you guys later.
All right. So, since we have no trivia person today, we have no freeloader to ask us trivia questions, I've come up with some stuff. And it's the segment I like to call Food Opinions. You've got them. You've got them, and so do I. Are yours right? We'll find out.
I actually don't have food opinions. My whole thing is it's...
I think you'll have opinions about these foods. Okay, first one is an easy one.
No.
Do you like wine, or do you like beer, or do you prefer it?
Wine.
How do I signal neither?
Is that an option? Caitlin, you got anything?
I said wine.
Wine? Okay, Ian?
I don't know. Like, normally I'd say wine, but, like, I've gotten more into beer now, so, like... But, like, snobby craft beer because, like, hops is horrible.
Well, good news. The answer was both of them. That was a trick question to make you guys feel good about yourselves because you can like whatever alcohols you want.
Was the real answer cider?
The real answer... Ooh, that
was really
good.
The real answer was the friends you made along the way.
The real answer was the friends you made along the way at the breweries and then forgot because you were hammered at a brewery.
Fun times, I think.
Next question. This one does have a right answer. Barbecue, North Carolina or Texas style?
Can you describe them?
No.
North Carolina is vinegar. Texas is sweet.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to say Texas because Texans.
Can I go with neither again?
No. I mean, you can, but you'll be wrong. I'll just put that one on the table.
As somebody who does not really like vinegar, I have to go with Texas. As somebody who's lived in both of those states, though, North Carolina is a better state.
This is true. Guys, give me about 2 seconds.
I'd go with Texas over North Carolina.
Okay.
All right, yeah, I think our decision is Texas.
Well, you're all fucking wrong. The answer is North Carolina.
Vinegar is very good, too. Oh, shit. The mustard one is bullshit. Is that South Carolina? Fucking hate that.
Wait, mustard barbecue? The fuck is that?
I don't know.
The only thing that's good is, like, honey mustard. That's good. But, like, barbecue mustard?
South Carolina. South Carolina. BBQ. South Carolina mustard barbecue sauce. It exists. I told you.
Oh, yeah. That's actually that is the real answer. South Carolina mustard barbecue
answer.
Sauce. That is
the
correct.
Garbage cue sauce. Yes, I agree. You Damn fucking it. Played yourself.
I did. All right. So far, both of the right answers have not been on the list. So we'll see how this one goes because this is a yes or no question.
Maybe.
You're really shit at making these tests.
Pineapple on pizza.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Ian, you're wrong.
Yes,
sorry.
Yes,
the answer's a hard yes. That's just a group consensus. Diana doesn't get an opinion, and Ian has forfeit his opinion because it's the wrong one.
This is not a fucking democracy, though, so I don't give a shit about your all's opinion.
Hmm.
It's not a democracy, and the rulers are anybody who like pineapple pizza.
All right.
Fun fact, now, I can kick everyone's ass here, even my own ass.
Yeah, we believe that, at least the last
part. Fun fact, I don't think you know where I live.
Listen, listen, this one's deadly serious. It's the most controversial. On sausage biscuits, the condiments, you can do neither or both as the options. Condiments, sausage biscuits, mustard, grape jelly.
I'm going to go hard neither.
It's neither. You go with, like, fucking gravy.
Gravy or cheese?
Caitlin?
Or both?
Caitlin? The question was, on your sausage biscuits, do you like mustard, grape jelly, neither, or both?
I like both.
You're fucking right. That's it. That's correct. Caitlin is correct. And because I got all the answers right, because, you know, I have the right opinions on food, we're going to go first.
Except for the opinions that you didn't know existed and didn't put on the, you know, on there.
But I have already gamed the system.
Well, I'm glad that you did.
I mean, this elaborate ruse.
It's good to win games, and I appreciate it. Okay. I appreciate your ruses.
My ruses are good. Okay, so Caitlin and I today are going to be talking about the comic Rat Queens. It's written by Curtis J. Weeba? Weeaboo? Weeba. And it's published by Image Comics. It is a fantasy series that centers around four adventuring ladies throughout their travels in this fantasy world. The world that they live in is unnamed, but they're general goal, their sort of premise, at least to start, is that they are guards or hired mercenaries, essentially, for the town of Palisade, which is, you know, just your standard fantasy town. It's got monsters around it. It at one point was out on the frontier, you know, them cowboys. No, not cowboys in this one. No cowboys.
No cowboys.
No cowboys.
Just, dragons.
Dragons. Well,
dragon boys.
I've seen one in this one. But yeah, this is a fantasy book. The storylines are your standard fantasy storylines. You know, there's a murder mystery for the first arc. The second arc has demigods that come from the sky, summoned by a bad boy. The third arc is about a revolution at a mage's college. I mean, there's your standard fantasy stuff where you start out as a town guard, but you end up as so much more.
So there's characters in this comic.
Wow, you're just really, this is just hard hitting journalism.
Rat Queens, like Carter said, centers around four ladies. They're pretty cool ladies. First, we're going to talk about Betty. We probably know the least about Betty. She is a smidgen halfling hobbit type person. She is a rogue, so she does sneaky snabby bullshit.
Sneaky snabby.
Sneaky snabby. Sneaky stabby. She is, her personality wise, she's a very childlike, while at the same time being obsessed with drugs and sex, but also candy. I think she's a lesbian.
She's at least been spotted with several.
She's been
ladies.
Observed with lesbionics.
Hooked on lesbionics.
There's also Dee, who is human and is kind of a cultist or a priest to, you know, do D&D roles. She's a nerd. She's the spellcaster, and she does have healing magic. She's a human cultist. Priest. She's a nerd. She likes to read during parties, which I can relate to. She's a spellcaster. She does have healing magic. She's kind of the voice of reason. She is the high priestess of her religion, and well, Carter put a million quotes around this because it's a Lovecraftian cult. She starts as an atheist. I don't actually recall if she finishes as an atheist, but
well,
for that, a long
that's
time.
That's a significant portion of her arc, which is the second trade paperback. So I'm not gonna, you know, we can leave some of that up to the readers or the listeners to find out.
Yeah, the second arc, the second trade paperback, focuses on her and her cult religion. But yeah, she's introduced as the human cultist priest atheist nerd, and it's interesting that she can, you know, use magic even though she doesn't believe in the deity that she's channeling, and she keeps using the excuse that I'm goddess enough And then later on, she's, like, the high priestess, so I guess she was right. Anyway, next we have Hannah, who is a tiefling sorceress. I keep thinking that she's an elf. I don't know. She has a real rockabilly sense of fashion, which I appreciate. She she has sex with the captain of the guard of the town.
Wait, I thought she was an elf.
She's not an elf, per se. She's got some demonic lineage that is a big part of the third arc and sort of figuring out who she is and her story there. It's a really interesting character. I like her a lot.
Yeah, she's a sorceress who both of her parents are necromancers. She's very focused to, you know, or she's very connected to necromancy and demons. And the third arc is mostly about her. And the next is Violet, and she is the dwarf fighter. She is a hipster dwarf. She shaved her beard before it was cool, and then she grew it back because she's even hotter with it. She comes from a very wealthy family, but she ran away. She's generally the one who has the shitty battle cries and catchphrases. There's also several extra characters. Braga is probably my favorite of the extra characters. Carter, can you talk about the extra characters?
Yeah, I'd be glad to talk about the extra characters. So Tizzy is one of these extra characters, and she's a member of a rival adventuring party. In fact, you could consider them the rival adventuring party of the Rat Queens. She is also like that party's leader, the Peaches, their leader. They're really an entity in the first arc more than anything. And something that I really like about her is from, like, literally from the get-go, they establish her as a frenemy of Hannah, who, if you recall, is the tiefling sorceress one who's sort of the leader of the group with the rockabilly style. And Tizzy is presented as being this very preppy, prim and proper adventurer, which, like, are two things that are very juxtaposed with each other. And it's just, like, a very very clashy dynamic, if that makes any sense. She's very 180 degrees of Hannah. She's a really great character to have around because, you know, you hate her like the whole time. You're like, geez, Tizzy, fuck off, we don't want to like hear about you being better than the Rat Queens. And then every once in a while Hannah's in a spot of trouble and Tizzy comes through, and not always with like a shield spell cast at the right moment. Like sometimes it's just like, hey, my dad's a bureaucrat, and I see you're in some trouble. So it's not like just these gut reactions. Like they clearly have a really solid relationship. Although I guess solid's not the right word, huh? If they're frenemies. Oh well.
Mixed. So,
yeah, it's an interesting relationship to watch throughout the series.
You know, how you and Scott hate each other.
Yeah, how me and Scott hate each other with a fiery, boiling passion. Braga is another member of the Peaches when we first meet her. She's an orc barbarian. You see her several times go into the classic Dungeons & Dragons barbarian rage, where in one of the first fight scenes that we see her go through, she grabs up Betty, who is the halfling hobbit rogue, literally puts Betty into her quiver and says, Betty, I need you to watch my back, and then pulls out two great axes and just goes ham on about 100 other orcs. And so that you know, like, if that doesn't really get across what I mean by the traditional Dungeons and Dragons barbarian, that's pretty self-explanatory there. One of the reasons I really wanted to include her is that she has a significant role in the fourth arc. Right now, there are four complete arcs out, the fifth one coming out in, or the fifth one wrapping up in July 2018 this year. But at the end of the third arc, they had a transitionary period where they were transitioning artists. And one of the things that they did during that period was write a special one-issue comic for Braga. And in this comic, you got to see an orc named Broog, B-R-O-O-G, and throughout the comic, you put together, oh, this is Braga before we knew her, and it's a simultaneous, the story itself is about Braga escaping her clan and becoming essentially a mercenary and not taking up her role as the as the leader of this orc clan, because she wants to excel outside of that and really change what's going on there. It's a pretty interesting arc, especially for the amount of time that they have to show it. But then also they use it as a reveal for, hey, this character that is fairly central is trans, and they don't make a big deal out of it. They just say, here's a story in Braga's past before she called herself Braga, and now we're here, we've done it.
And it's I really enjoy that that's not her whole thing, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, it was such a good arc because it did a good job of dropping it in for the reader, and it didn't draw attention to it being like, this is our trans character TM. This is no, she's just a character who happens to be trans, and we got to see a little bit more of her story. Some more characters that are like side characters that show up every once in a while. Sawyer, Caitlin mentioned Hannah, the tiefling sorceress, is fucking the captain of the guard. Sawyer is the captain of the guard, you know, the one that Hannah's fucking. And he's sort of a neutral good character in D&D alignment terms. He oftentimes has to arrest the rat queens because they've done some shady stuff. And say, you better not do it again, but then release them because, you know, they're the rat queens and they protect this town and they make it exciting. There's the four Daves, which is a third adventuring party rival to the rat queens and Peaches. And they're just four Daves. They're four guys. There's Daves. There's four of them. I just wanted to include that because I really like them as a character set. One of them has an intimate relationship with Violet, or Vi, the dwarf fighter. Part of what makes this series so lovable for me is that its characters are... Relatable is the wrong word, because they're all so over the top in who they are. Hannah, the tiefling sorceress, she's this just punk asshole who just blows everything out of proportion. She's the first one to say, fuck it, let's shoot, and then go in. Betty is the one who's, you know, by traditional standards would be morally depraved, obsessed with, you know, gluttony and drugs and sex. She's, you know, over the top in that regard. And then Violet,
stealing.
Yeah, stealing. Violet is a character who's just like the just hipster copy paste, you know.
She's got identity crises, yep. She's got angst, she's got disdain for trends, mm-hmm. Like everything you can think of, yeah. For hipsters.
Now I see why, you know, certain characters are your favorite, Carter.
Wow, okay. But her whole personality is that she doesn't want to be defined by what she is, she wants to be defined by what she's not, and she wants to be somebody who's not... associated with her well-off family who made their living by being extraordinary blacksmiths. She's not somebody who shaved their beard because it looks good. She's not somebody who grew her beard back because she wanted to fit in again. She's not any of those things, and she doesn't want people to think that she is. You know.
That's a good way to describe it, yeah.
Yeah. So these characters, like I said, they're just blown up and over the top, and it's part of why I love this series so much. Caitlin, you want to talk a little bit about the tone of the series and you know, connect it to Dungeons and Dragons, maybe?
Sure. So, according to the man.
Which man?
With the name.
Which man?
Weiba? I don't know.
Weiba?
Weeb. According to the Weeb, Rat Queens is his love letter to D&D. The whole tone and atmosphere would definitely be immediately familiar to anyone who has played D&D. They've gone straight for that high fantasy bullshit aesthetic. And then, in addition, they kind of capture the fun parts of D&D as well, because it's full of raunchy jokes, poorly executed battle cries, cinematic magic, and over-the-top gore. And something that I appreciate very much is as you are reading through the comics at, like, beginnings or endings of each individual issue, you know, the very short thing, not the trade paperback, there'll be little nods towards various RPG games, role-playing games, tabletop games, any of that thing similar to D&D, such as Surprise Round or +5 Attack against all of the Garys, or anyone named Gary, rather, because in the previous episode, Gary did something bad.
So Caitlin, you did a pretty good job describing it about how this is.
Yeah, do you want to add to this?
I do want to add to this. All of
Please add to this.
Give me a fucking second. I'll add to this. All five members of this podcast have actually played a lot of D&D together. In fact, before we actually started recording the podcast, we would get together on a roughly two-week basis to play Dungeons & Dragons with myself as Dungeon Master and the rest of these four idiots failing to play D&D around. What I really love about this series is, you know, there's the gore and then the battle cries, like Caitlin said, where, you know, the paladin in the group definitely has a good idea of what they want to say, but they couldn't put it together in time before they launched it off into space. There's a lot of nice touches like that that really make this series feel very familiar for anybody who's played D&D. You know, if I didn't know better and if I didn't know that he had written this explicitly, you know, he didn't take this from something else, you could easily just say, yeah, Rat Queens is a comic that was transcribed from a D&D recording. Like, it's just that kind of thing. It's not quite as ridiculous with what happens, but it feels like that. You know, the characters feel like they have some level of agency, but also you clearly know that there's a story to be followed. You know, there's random happenstance that you know, just in perfect storytelling doesn't necessarily always happen. You know, somebody, an assassin shows up to kill them, and instead of having to fight him, he gets smushed by a giant orc that's standing right behind him, who then proceeds to try to kill the adventurers as well. Like, that stuff doesn't happen in Game of Thrones. You know, it separates itself from high fantasy. And I was trying to come up with a good way to phrase it. And I think the best way that I've got is high-low fantasy. Because it's high fantasy, sure, but it is low-grade humor.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's lowbrow humor.
It takes a step back from Tolkien. It takes a step back from Game of Thrones. And it really, I don't know, it makes it accessible. And that's something that I hate about high fantasy bullshit, is that it can feel so very inaccessible. So that's sort of why I love this series. We done with this one, skaters. So
cue the music.
Oh, I'm gonna cue up the sick bass drops. Here we go.
Cut to commercial, quick.
Alright, we're back. I fought my way out of Alf's stomach, unless I cut that joke, in which case I wasn't in Alf's stomach. I was fine the whole time. I've made it. I'm alive. They've saved me after this 30-second break, where you guys got to listen to sick bass drops.
We had to listen to him.
Yeah, me screaming, help, I'm inside of Alf's stomach.
Yeah, and it was a lot longer than 30 seconds. It's been like 4.5 weeks.
Yeah, it's really been. Well, they sent me a laptop down in there so I could keep editing episodes. It's pretty good.
And just sort of waited for him to pass naturally, like, yeah. You know.
Yeah, it's like a kidney stone. It's bad. Anyways, I hate that joke. So now, Scott and Ian, today you're going to talk about Bidgie Game.
What's it? Yep, what's it?
A video. Can you talk game about Bop because, It? Because, like, I have no other interest.
Talking about Bop It?
Yeah, Bop It, the video game. You Bop It. That's it. We're done with this segment, and we're closing out.
All right, hold up. New plan. Let's get into VR development and develop VR Bop It.
I'm pretty sure it's something like that.
That has to already be a thing. Yeah. I kind of want to play it, though.
So since we're not talking about VR Bop It, what are we talking about?
We're going to be talking about Witchit, which is a game that I have so much experience playing as of yesterday. It is essentially, if anybody's ever played a prop hunt game, it's essentially two teams, one of which is able to disguise themselves and hide around a map, and the other team is trying to find them and kill them. Essentially, it's hide and seek on a computer. It's a lot of fun.
Wait, disguise themselves as what?
Whatever the fuck you want.
So, yeah, I'll go more detail. The my perfectly accurate description, because I also have many hours, as in more than three and less than five.
More than me.
It's an online asymmetric multiplayer 3D game. It's created by Bear Roll Games, says the website. Like Ian said, it's just hide and seek as a video game. You can play with random people online, or you can play in lobbies with your friends. Unfortunately, there's no party system, so you kind of just join the same lobby and hope shit works out.
Hopefully that's going to get added on later on, though. This game is still in early access, so...
It is an early access game, yeah. But unlike PUBG, which is now not even an early access game, it plays pretty well, which is just a breath of fresh air after playing PUBG for so long. The servers have, like... They cap out at, like, 10 or 16 people, so generally you're playing with, like, 5 to 16 people. One team, like we said, it's asymmetric, so the teams have different abilities and they have different objectives. One team is the witches. You hide as objects in plain sight or literally wherever you want. You can move around, but obviously you don't want to be noticed because it's hide and seek. The other team is the hunters, which are kind of playing a first-person shooter in which you just throw potatoes at things until they scream, and if they scream, you kill them.
As you do. Like, that's...
As a random person in real life just does. Like, I've got my sack of potatoes. Both teams have abilities to make the game more fun. So you have movement abilities. Like, hunters have a grappling hook that has, like, a couple second cooldown so they can get on top of things. They have seeking abilities. Like, you can throw a chicken that clucks if there's a witch nearby, which makes the game, like, feasible for the hunters.
Yeah.
Witches have escaping or taunting abilities. Like, you can fuse nearby hunters, make decoys.
You can also spawn, like, the... trap thing, like the distraction, like flying thing.
Oh yeah, you can throw a distracty bear at their face.
Yeah,
it usually causes the hunter to be so scared that they actually die of a heart attack in real life, and then you win.
Well, you have to wait for them to AFK out, but yeah.
Yeah, it's a very scary purple looking bear. It's kind of like a teddy bear if it was a demon.
That's for our listeners who haven't seen this game, it's not scary at all whatsoever.
No, it's... I honestly think the only reason why there was any tears from me last night while playing this game was because I was laughing too hard at being, like, a starfish or half a coconut.
Or a Hawaiian pizza.
Oh, or the time that there was a megaphone, a pumpkin, and an outhouse sitting on top of a tree.
That was also a good time.
Yeah. So, more details about the game if you're not already hooked. There are, like, multiple maps that have different vibes, like the overall terrain, size, the objects you can even turn into change. Some examples, there's a library, which is a small map, so everything's, like, confined, which you would think makes it easier for the hunters, except, like, you can turn into, like, tiny little books or candles and hide in, like, nooks and crannies, which makes it a pain in the ass to find people. There's also, like, larger maps, like a giant snowy town. When I say giant, it's not that big. It takes, like, probably less than a minute to cross if you're just walking. But it's much bigger, and you can hide in, like, big places, like on top of buildings, as a giant block of cheese. Or you can still hide in nooks and crannies, but they're kind of harder to find.
Or you can be like Scott and hide as a building.
Yeah, there is one object that you can turn into, which is just a building. And it's a rare spawn, apparently, and I can't seem to find it much. And I really just want to be a building and make it through the round as a witch.
So, like, what I want to know is, like, if you're a building, can people run inside you? And then can witches hide as objects inside the building? Because, like, that would just be a whole nother level of, like, bullshit.
That's a good question. I think it's too small and it's closed. It is a closed building. Like the one building object.
Mm-hmm. That's a shame. That would be hilarious.
Yes. It'd also be hilarious to see, like, what the chicken does if you throw a chicken at them. They didn't... The time I was the building, they didn't need to throw a chicken because I was a flying building through the air. And that's pretty witchy.
Yeah, it might not always kinda, be, but, you know.
That kind of screams of witchcraft. But, like, yeah, that's the thing. It's like... I honestly played this game for about maybe an hour and a half or so last night, and, like, I actually really enjoyed it. It was not a hard game to pick up. The movements and, like, the mechanics of the game are very simple, but, like, the game in and of itself, every match was new. Like, even though, like, there's multiple times that we would play on the same level, there was a lot of just, like, freshness to it, that it's very different every time because you have that asymmetrical feel of what is this group of hunters going to do differently this time.
I love this game. You know, the session that Ian and Scott are referencing that we played in our last night, not your last night, although we could just be playing this every day. But the session that Scott and Ian are referencing, we're going to throw up on the Brought to the Table YouTube. So if you want to check that out, you're welcome to go and look and take a gander. But one critical thing about this game is that it's, like Scott and Ian said, a hide-and-seek game. And one other hide-and-seek game that comes to mind for me, in fact, one of the few other than Prop Hunt on Gmod, this game, Witchit, and by the way, that's spelled witch as in a witch, and then it.
That really doesn't clarify anything.
Well, I wanted to make sure I said the word witch right.
Witch as in magic.
Witch as in magic.
Okay, there we go.
It as in scary clown.
Yes. And the third game, Dead by Daylight, which is the one I really want to compare it to here. Dead by Daylight is a spooky, scary, hide-and-seek game where there's very clearly defined objectives and a very clearly defined win condition. But the difference between that game and this game, other than just the general tone of Dead by Daylight being a very straightforward, you know, you want to win, there's very little messing around and things like that. This game, Witchit, I like because it's not really that much fun if you play it just to win. Like, it's just not. It's more of just you play it to have fun, you know, like games are supposed to be played.
No, I definitely agree with that sort of like comparison because, like, you know, playing Dead by Daylight, I agree that, like, to a certain extent, it is a very sort of hide and seek game. But at the same time, it's less of hide and seek and more of avoid this character while you try to complete other objectives. Where, like, in Dead by Daylight, you have one person who is the murderer or the killer, and then you have, like, the four teenager survivors, like, you know, lost in the woods sort of people, that their whole purpose is to avoid the murderer and turn on generators and escape through these doors. Like, it's a very, like Carter said, a very clearly defined, you have these objectives, and you cannot leave here until you complete those. There is no sort of time limit, and it's very sort of, like, anxiety-inducing because you're trying to get the shit done before somebody kills you. Witchit, on the other hand, is all about how much can you, like, fucking troll somebody else? How can you, like, taunt them? Like, there's actual buttons in the game to taunt while you're a witch. And you just, basically, you're trying to survive until this time comes out. And the most ridiculous hiding places make it even, the like, much more better.
Yeah, so I want to go into detail. If you're not sold on this game yet, like, what a kind of round is like for each team. So, like, as a witch, before the round starts for either team, you choose your abilities, which are, like, your movement or your... For witches, like, how did you get away? And for hunters, like, how do you find the witches? So as a witch, you start the round. You walk around as an actual witch. You're in third person. You don't have that long. It's, like, 30 seconds, which is maybe enough time to cross the map, but you gotta hurry. You can kind of spectate before if you know, like, roughly where you want to hide. But you just click on something, and you transform into it. So if you see an outhouse, you click on the outhouse, and now you're an outhouse right next to that one. Or you see, like, a boat. You are a boat now. It can be big, it can be small. The objects vary from map to map. You can put yourself out in the open and try to blend in. You can put yourself in a corner, on a roof, under a stairwell, whatever you want. You try not to be found, which you can do by either avoiding movement and having a good hiding spot, having good exit strategies if somebody does find you, or, like, gradually moving around and trying to avoid, like, people being near you. If a hunter does find you, you can escape using your abilities, which are, like, confuse them, put up a smoke cloud, just fly away, like, jump over a wall, become a different object, or most likely after you're, like, found the first time, you just die.
Yeah, so, like, one thing that I will want to, like, point out that I have, like, made the mistake of doing multiple times is not realizing, as a witch, where the hunters spawn out of, and, like, hiding right in front of there never works. Never works for me.
Especially because they can hear you when they're in the spawn.
Yeah.
And, like, prepping. So yeah, like, as a hunter, you sit in spawn, like, there's a little room you start at. You can hear the witches, but you usually can't see them because it's a room that has walls. You wait the 30 seconds. Once it's over, you run around and you just randomly throw potatoes. Something screams, it's a witch. You have these abilities that let you find the witches more easily. Like, you can throw a chicken every couple of seconds and it'll tell you if there's a witch nearby. Then you're just kind of chucking potatoes at witches and hoping you get them. If you get all the witches, the hunters win. If you don't get all the witches in 5 minutes, you lose and the witches win. The game modes take a couple of minutes. It's very quick. Very fun to just, like we talked about Love Letter. It feels like a good, just, like, relaxing, maybe warm-up game if you're waiting for your buddies to get on to play, like, a long game like Dota or something. The normal game mode, which is just like hide and seek, hunters try and get all the witches, witches die, and then they're done for the rest of the round, seemed to favor witches from when we played for a couple hours, depending on like the number of people on the server and the map. Especially because if the witches want to win, they can just hide as like a tiny little coconut under stairwell and nobody will find them.
I've definitely done that.
And if they don't take any risks. There's another game mode that we played a lot more of called Mobification, which is kind of a pretty standard twist where if you die as a witch, you turn into a hunter. So it skews the game in favor of the hunters as time goes on. I just want to bring up like the history people in this podcast so far I represent or like, have referred to Prop Hunt, which is not a standalone game. It was just a custom mode, mod, script, and Gary's mod, which itself was originally a mod of Half-Life 2. But like all good game modes, like Dota, it got turned into a dedicated game. This one is kind of in a completely different spirit, and it's kind of a completely different game. They just like kept the spirit of hunting and shooting down things. But it does have like the feel of, I want to say like older games or games that like started from a mod. Like there are custom servers, you can make your own settings. It's not just like matchmaking, like every online game is now with parties. You just like click, I want to join US-12 because I know my friends are on it. There's chat. And they're planning to update this and kind of keep the feel with new skills, skins, customizable options, and new game modes. So you still have like the central theme, but different like variations on it.
Cool. This game right now on Steam, like we said earlier, is in early access, so it's not perfect. It is buggy. It's got its problems, but all in all, for an early access game, I think it runs pretty stably. And right now, I think that they're more focused on content than anything.
Yeah.
Like I said, the game is $15, so as far as games go, pretty cheap, but depending on how you feel about how much you want to get out of a game, it might be too expensive. My general rule is if I get one hour per dollar I put into the game, that game was worth it, and I think if we, over the course of the next couple months or so, I'm going to get that value out of it for sure. It's a really fun game to just take a break from something more investing, like, or in that you need to be more invested in, like PUBG or like Overwatch or like Rocket League. So it's a game I really like.
Like, one thing that I would definitely like to see with it though is like a in-game chat, like voice chat. I don't know if there's not one in there yet. I know that there is text chat, but I definitely think like a voice chat in-game would be really nice.
Yeah, it would help because if you want to actually, so we've been playing screwing around. Like, this game is definitely a lot more fun when you can talk to people.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, personally taunt them, like, hey, I see you over there in the building. Bet you can't find me. Or, like, screw around as witches. Like, say I'm rolling out when you're actually a wheel rolling around the map. That's also fun. But if you wanted to, like, actually coordinate, like, something's going to be frustrating if you're hunters and you haven't found, like, a single witch yet and you're just getting trolled. So it's sometimes helpful to be like, hey, my chicken found something over here. Does somebody want to help me?
Yeah.
And there's even, like, abilities that play well together. Like, one of the hunter abilities isn't, like, you find something. It's you throw a garlic at them, and they can't be a witch anymore. Like, they can't use their abilities. Useful for killing them, but you need to, like, pair with somebody who can actually find shit. So.
Yeah, so, like, it definitely lends itself well to a team-based game. Like, there was definitely a lot of parts last night whenever I was playing where it's, like, it felt like a lot of everybody's just running around as a hunter, just hoping to find something. Like, everything's getting hit with a potato, just in case. Sometimes things were getting hit more than once, just to be sure. But, like, it's the whole thing of, like, you add in teamwork into it in any sense, and it's still fun. Like Carter had mentioned, you know, you have Overwatch, you have PUBG, you have games like that where, you know, there's a very large, serious aspect to it that a lot of people bring in. With Witchit, it's just fucking hilarious. You just have people as, like, snowmen, or, like, a starfish, or oars on a boat, or, you know, Ace Fish Skeleton.
Or the boat itself.
Oh, yeah, you can even be the boat itself. Like, and just to have that sort of, like, voice overlay where you can just talk to someone else and, like Scott said, personally taunt them, that just makes the game so much more fun.
Yeah, I would like to, like, it's not a very serious game, because there's, like, there's no objectives except, like, hunters find the fucking witches. Like,
the objective is to dick around.
Yeah, I would prefer if there were, like, some bonuses for, basically bonuses for dicking around as a witch, Because as of now, if you're really serious, you can just hide in like a corner that nobody will check as like a very small object. Basically, if you have a good hiding spot, you can just AFK for 5 minutes and be like, oh, I won. If there was an objective, like you got more points or I don't know. There are little cards at the end of the match that say like, hey, this witch actually ran around a lot, which is funny. But if they like rewarded you taunting more or hiding as bigger things or moving around, I think it would be more fun. And it would lend itself to more hilarious gameplay where you see boats running across the map.
I mean, I definitely agree with that, with the idea of, like, you shouldn't be able to win a game by just finding a spot and then being able to leave for 5 minutes. Like, that's not fun. I think definitely including something like some sort of, like, item drop, or I know that they have, like, the eggs or something like that that you can collect that give you more points during the game. But, like, having something other than that where there's a unique sort of drop or there's, like, a certain place on the map that, like, after a certain amount of time, it spawns in this area, and then after a certain, like, couple seconds there, it moves somewhere else. And, like, if you're in that area, you get some sort of buff or, like, increase in, like, points that you earn or something like that. I think...
You know what I really want to see now that I think about it?
What's that?
I want to see a custom mode that is PUBG.
Yeah, I was thinking just about that. Yeah.
Where the witches are, I guess, a battle royale style game. Where the witches can start anywhere on the map, and then, like, it starts closing in where the witches can hide, and so some witches have to, like, dart across the map to make it to the safe zone. That would be fun. I would enjoy this greatly.
That would honestly get you to have your boat just flying across the map trying to get into an area.
All right, I think that's all we've got to say about that.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. Check it out on Steam. It was on sale. Maybe it'll go on sale again.
And I missed it. God damn it.
It's probably better if you can convince one of your friends to play it, because I've had the most fun just screwing around with Carter and Ian and Caitlin playing this game. Mm-hmm. If you can't, maybe you should just find better friends.
Just get the game and then make friends with people on the games. Those are your friends now.
You have no other friends.
Just only them.
And I'll be sure to upload our play session onto YouTube, so that if you think you might be interested, you can go and take a look at me and these guys screwing around and being very bad at the game. So that'll be a...
And probably saying inappropriate things.
If you are looking to follow us on social media, which we really like, we would really appreciate it if you did, you can find us on Facebook, on Tumblr, at Brought to the Table. You can find us on Twitter at To The Table Pod. Tweet at us, post on our Facebook thing, blog at us on Tumblr, and you know, we'll be sure to get back to you. You can send us emails with suggestions or comments or concerns at broughttothetable@gmail.com. If you send us suggestions, we might look into them and present them as a full topic. We might just read them after the show, but we would love to get some feedback from you in any form. And most importantly, please leave a review for us on iTunes and subscribe so that you never miss an episode. You know, leaving a review and word of mouth is the only way that we get any visibility. We don't pay to advertise at all, so the more people you tell, the better. So we would really appreciate it if you, well, told somebody. Thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you next time. Bye.
Later.
You can go now. That sounds like I'm kicking you out.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to have to.
You can go now, Caitlin. Yeah,
you can go now. Let me see. You're allowed to leave.
Here's some Foley work.
Please, no. No. You're sick and you're vomiting. I don't know what kind of Foley work you're going to provide, but I don't want it.